You're not my liquor delivery. Go away.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 13, The Night the Lights Went Out at Melrose. I don't know why I said it like that. And now here are your hosts, Dar and Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, everyone. This is the first time that I've liked Lexi based on that opening clip, and it's probably going to be the last. But before we get into that, some updates. There is no Again With This this Friday because this September has 5 Fridays. How'd they do that? But the latest Again With Them is dropping on Thursday, September 28th. Did Tori and Jenny manage to watch more than 2 episodes this month? We'll let you know if you are a Patreon supporter at the $5 level and up.
Yeah, as of this recording, which is September 13th, there has been one episode of OMG in the month of September. So TBD on that. I have some ideas of how we could stretch if we need to, because they farted around this whole month and or we're in the hospital again. Who's to say? But we'll see. But for our Patreon supporters at all levels, you can hear us in Again With This episode 162, dropping October 6th. Let's watch Grant Show and Kelly Rutherford in the season 3 Halloween episode of The CW's Dynasty. Fun fact, I picked this because it was a Halloween episode and we're doing all spooky episodes for spooky season in the month of October. And then noticed, oh yeah, I mean, I remembered she was on the show vaguely, but I didn't know when. So, you know, it's a twofer. We'll see how that goes.
Literally any excuse from us to get Dynasty and Fantasy Island onto this podcast.
And by us, you mean me? Me only?
Yeah, no. Well, like one and a half of us.
Right. So that is on Netflix. It's season 3, episode 3, Wild Ghost Chase. So check all that out. All the information you need and so much more is at patreon.com/againwiththis. And we will be thrilled to see you there. Shall we get into this episode?
Yeah, not sure it's going to take that long, but famous last words.
We'll see. Let us start with our B plot. Michael is still basically stalking Jane. First of all, after the credits, there's some sub music bad enough to comment on for, I'm going to say, the first time in a while, clip 2. Okay, what?
Why? Juliana Crapfield, Magna Poop.
That is what she sounds like. I was thinking Gwen Stefani, because this is, but it's not like ska enough to be No Doubt, but it's that attitude.
I was going
to
be like Save Ferris, but like instead it's Kill Ferris, or instead of No Doubt, it's Doubt. It just keeps going, too. And then in the middle of it, there's that motorcycle. It's like, guys, yeah, exactly. We agree. Cut anytime.
Also, the opening B-roll still seems to be in the mid-90s based on the fashion. You can see this in the visual aids because they gift it. We see the same black miniskirt leaning over a gumball machine 3 times. And then a white trapeze dress with green polka dots worn with opaque black, opaque white tights twice. So check those out too. Travel back in time.
If it's not this B-roll, it's the one with like people's butt cheeks hanging out of ripped jeans that are extremely like rib cage ticklers. Like, yes. This is from 91.
Uh-huh, for sure.
This B-roll. Yeah.
Yes. This at least is into the, like, Janine Garofalo in Reality Bites era of fashion. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Everyone listening knows what I'm talking about because we're all here in Gen X. Hello, everyone. Anyway.
Hi.
Then Jane is interrupting Michael at the practice. He apparently hired an engineer to check on the load-bearing beams at the beach house and learned that the foundation needs reinforcement, so he has to move out for a couple of months at least. But Jane flatly refuses to let him move in with her at the complex until after the wedding. What? And he pouts that he guesses he's looking for an apartment. Okay, at this point, the wedding is in 19 days. Airbnb does not exist. Go to a hotel. How many times do I have to say it?
Oh my God. Also, what happened to the beach set? Did it just burn down? Who cares?
Nope. So as soon as Jane has gone, Michael calls the engineer to thank him for helping him sell the scam to Jane. Except, whoops, the guy did check Michael's beams for real. And there's like $50,000 worth of damage that needs to be repaired, which will take at least 2 months. And Michael's face, if you own a home, you have made this face. You can see it in the visual aids. It's the, you have to be shitting me. Why is this a five-figure problem? I hate this.
Drawers are filling with the sound of music. Yeah, great.
At the complex that night, Jane runs into Michael putting his name on his mailbox and whines at him about taking a place there to spy on her. And they're still arguing when Alex comes up behind him with some work for Jane that can't wait. Michael suspiciously tells him to have their meeting in the courtyard, but Jane ignores him and Alex snorts that he's never known a doctor who had this much free time. And Michael glares at the door as they walk away, as you can also see in the visual aids, looking real, gotta say it, impotent. And in Jane's apartment, we see that all of Alex's sketches have Jane's face, although he gave her a more flattering hairstyle, which was nice, and she should take a hint.
Yeah.
And not to be Amy Sugarman about it, but I would love to know if these are Nolan Miller illustrations, because I wondered. Like, they're clearly custom, because it's really her, but anyway. Jane notes his use of her likeness and Alex shrugs that she is the woman he's been designing for since they met. And Jane's like, yeah, I know, conceited, but then jokes that his using her actual face is creepy. And babe, if you really think it is, don't laugh about it. Mixed messages, gift of fear, hello.
Yeah.
And then Michael's there to pretend to borrow sugar and repeat Alex's burn about free time, except at Alex. And while Michael is there to hear, Alex asks Jane to be the face of his brand. And Michael, of course, intrudes some more. Clip 3.
Oh, boy, are you in for the brush off.
Butt out, Michael.
Well, come on, Jane. For years, you've been approached to model. You never say yes. You know, you hate the whole idea, the iconization of the female form.
Doesn't sound like the Jane I know.
Oh, yeah? Well, I think I know her a little better than you. Besides, no wife of mine is going to parade her wares on newsstands.
Is that an ultimatum?
Yes, now that you mention it.
Where do I sign? When do I start?
Well said, Michael. God.
Also, writers, learn what words mean. It's not iconization. It's objectification. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one? Oh, was that an ultimatum? Like, is that an order? Like, please, you know, if you're going to still write this stupid story, don't use words incorrectly during it.
Yeah.
We've already been here for like 5 years. Get on with it.
Well, and furthermore, like, it's different saying Jane doesn't want to model herself than like she objects to the idea of modeling when she was in fashion. Like, she's used models. She's dressed models. Like, she's in the industry, or she was. She's not anymore, but she had her time. Like, I don't think that's the issue.
No.
Dumb. Then Jane is starting her modeling job the next day and not, say, in several months to give her hair a chance to grow out. But she is also very pissy on the set. Clip 4.
All right, I'm not feeling all that comfortable. Ow! God!
Thanks. This is the dress they want for the cover, so try. We have to shoot this.
What's wrong with it, Jane?
I think maybe somebody else will look better in this dress.
You look beautiful.
I don't feel beautiful.
Oh, how many times have I heard that?
You're in a $10,000 dress.
Well, maybe there's something wrong with me.
There's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect. Just stop fidgeting, that's all.
Jane, can I talk to you in private?
I hate this, all right? Being told how to smile and where to look and how to stand.
This is not what I want to hear. Okay?
Jane, can we just get this one shot? Just the one.
Sure, but with another model, I quit. She doesn't mean it.
Is that your executive spin on the situation?
Well, I just hope this doesn't affect our working relationship.
Well, it's up to you. You want my account? I want Jane. She wants Michael. So change your mind.
I mean, this whole plot line has said everything that it had to say 3 episodes ago.
Yeah.
I also have run out of things to say. This is very dumb. Mm-hmm. That the assistant was like, oh my God, I'm going to get blamed for this, and had that face on through the whole scene. And I was like, yeah, you probably are. Like, this is the only interesting thing about the scene. Mm-hmm. I just can't.
Yeah, the assistant and the photographer who was like, fuck this amateur. Like, truly. Yeah. And he's right. Like,
yeah.
I mean, put it
on a hanger, shoot it, and leave. Enough.
Yes. And I'm sure Josie Bassett was like working some stuff out because she was a model in her day as well. But the business of involving Amanda, like, my woman of the year would tell this guy in his business to fuck off, but I guess I'm not Bizline, so what do I know?
Ugh. And his design, that dress was 10 grand? Canadian dollars? Like, it's just a U-neck. Who cares?
Unfortunately, Amanda does chase Jane into her dressing room to yell at her. Jane thought Amanda would understand. She hates how he looks at her and doesn't want him to worship her. Amanda guesses that means Jane is still attracted to Alex. And instead of saying, ooh, no, like the rest of us, Jane is like, wouldn't you be? And admits she's not been able to say no to him yet. And what if she never can? And Amanda shrugs that she can dump Michael and marry Alex, which is not what Jane wants to hear. And that night she knocks on Michael's door to kiss on him and presumably tell him nothing about any of this. And the next morning, they are snuggled up in bed together when Amanda lets herself in to yell at them both. Clip 5.
Okay, I finally had it.
Hey, this is private property.
I don't give a damn. I have been a loyal employer, a respectful employer. But that doesn't change the fact that all my employees are running around having romances while I'm stuck cleaning up their messes.
Amanda, if this has something to do with the photo shoot...
You lose one hot client and all the others follow. I will not have you lose the Alex Bastion account.
Excuse me, you can't just walk in here and start ordering us around.
We'll go to him and you'll apologize.
Oh, no, you won't.
And say what?
You'll say, I'm sorry, Alex. I'm sorry I was so difficult, so ungrateful, so...
So get out of here before I call the landlord commission.
I'm leaving. But you'll return your full modeling fee and reimburse Alex for all his expenses after you apologize.
Oh. Now I remember why I couldn't wait to move out of this building.
Okay, it's one thing for Michael to say, as he does, that Amanda is overstepping as their landlord, but she multiple times refers to herself as Jane's employer, and she maybe shouldn't, because Jane is naked, and she can definitely sue you for all of this, and then sue you again for doing it as her landlord.
Uh-huh.
Also, shut up, Alex is gross.
Exactly. He's so gross.
That night, there's a blackout. Michael exposits to Ryan that he just heard on the radio that power's out all over the city, and he is just starting to razz Ryan about what happened during the New York City blackout, and then falls into the pool mid-sentence, and unfortunately, I did laugh, because I'm a child.
Mm-hmm.
And later, as Jane is drying Michael off, he asks her to apologize to Alex for him. She changes the subject to wanting to bone Michael, but he has to go get his TV and clock radio, LOL, out of the car so they don't get looted in the dark, and Jane will be waiting at her place. And just as a report comes through about looting in the area, cops and a cruiser see Michael with his stuff and turn on the sirens, which, like, yeah, he totally took these electronics out of their boxes and made them look old so he could pull off the perfect crime in this blackout. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the first cop to get out of the car has his gun drawn as he approaches Michael, who explains he's moving in and doesn't have receipts because he's had this stuff for 6 years and he just fell in the pool, so his wallet's in his kitchen drying off. And then makes a joke about the cops tracking down coffee and donuts, which they do not find amusing, and arrest him. Cute. Not cute. Speaking of not cute, back at Jane's, she's pouring champagne when a man comes up behind her and starts putting the moves on her. And rhetorically asking what took him so long, she kisses back, but soon realizes it's Alex, not Michael, and is appalled and warns him that Michael's going to be there any second, but Alex doesn't care and kisses her again. And she kisses back, but not as long this time before shoving him away. And he apologizes, not very apologetically, and agrees to go. But she belongs with him and they both know it. Stop this. I hate it. I hate it so much. I really hate it.
Also, he's like a foot taller than Mancini.
There's she that, too. Known.
Yep. Also, men smell different. Also, mm-hmm. Who cares? He's gross.
So gross.
Kill him off. Thank you.
Cut to the cop car where Michael is claiming the DA is one of his patients and his taxes pay their salaries, blah, blah, blah. And as he rants on, the cops spot some people messing around a car who scatter when the cruiser stops, except as the cops split up, a third guy hops into the open cruiser door and peels out with Michael in the back because no one's going to touch him driving this. This is where it gets kind of funny because when we cut back to the cruiser, Michael is patiently waiting as the driver loads the car up with so much stuff from an electronics store that he has to open the back seat to get more stuff in it. And so when he runs back inside to get more, Michael climbs out, wriggles his cuffed hands to the front, and drives away. And the looter comes running out at the sound and is basically like, "Welp," and runs off to put like plan C into action, which you can see in the visual aids as well. Again, this is a little funny. I'm finding my joy where I can because this is so stultifying, all this love triangle stuff.
It really, ugh. Like, why is this in this show?
Yeah,
who knows, but at least it was like a little bit, like, it was well shot and mm-hmm. everyone's just trying to find the fun, including the B team that shot this
true
sequence. So well done.
In the courtyard, Jane runs into Megan and asks if she has seen Michael. Poor Megan literally puts her hands up like she's showing there's nothing in them, asking if Jane thinks that he is with Megan again, but Jane explains what has happened and Megan doesn't know anything and has her own problems, which we will get to. Cut to the police station where an awful lot of cops are just hanging around in the parking lot for being in the middle of a citywide blackout. Again, believable. Mm-hmm. When Michael comes fishtailing in, trying to tell his story, and they all draw on him and he's like, "Not again." And that's the end of this plot line. Like, really? We're ending on the laugh line? Okay, I guess. God. Moving on to our A plot, Eve tries to slow things down with Peter while his exes scheme. Lexi opens the door and spits at her caller that they are not her liquor delivery, as we already heard up top. And true, it is Megan, for some reason, trying to cheer Lexi up instead of just letting her face the consequences of being chaotically shitty, including quitting. Lexi blames her misery on Megan, calling her Brutus, whom she both kicks out and fires. And Megan is fine with that, but adds that she is Lexi's only friend. And Lexi says, clip six.
"You really don't understand why I did it, do you? I did it because I hate Amanda, okay?
What?
I've always relied on the hatred of Amanda." What is this performance?
I don't know.
I mean, at least it's like interestingly bad, unlike mm-hmm. her usual thing. I'd also like to note elsewhere that Megan is announcing to Lexi before this in the scene, "You missed a 7 a.m. staff meeting." Like, what kind of animal has a staff meeting at 7 in the morning?
Even on Zoom. Not acceptable.
Not one that drinks as much as Lexi does. Nope. Jesus.
Yes. But I love the idea that she's like, "You don't understand. I hate Amanda." Like, everyone understands that. Like, mm-hmm. babies understand that. It's not complicated.
No, no.
But she goes on to complain that Peter is everything Lexi ever wanted, and she lost him to Amanda, who doesn't even want him. And Megan gives Lexi a peck and starts to leave, but Lexi holds her arm, and they make out. Just kidding. Although, as we keep saying, they should. Instead, Lexi just says Megan is too good a friend to fire. And remember approximately like 3 weeks ago when these two were at each other's throats about Coop? Because mm-hmm. I do, vaguely.
Yeah. My God, remember Coop?
Remember Coop? Yeah. Anywho, over to the courtyard where Kyle and Amanda are staggering home in their banquet outfits the morning after. Amanda doesn't want to go to sleep because it means the night of her triumph is over. And they're making out when Eve interrupts them. And Kyle tries to get them both out of further small talk with Eve, but Amanda dismisses him to, guess what, shower. And when he's gone, Eve gives Amanda a recap of the date. And we were making fun. I don't want to body shame Rena Sofer about her enormous mouth, but we were talking about this with regard to the hot dog last week. And again, she's like, when she figures out that Amanda won, she's like, does a huge gasp. And like, I swear I can see molars past her black, her back molars, like her mouth opens so wide. You can see in the visual aids.
I mean, she's beautiful, but she could digest a baby,
which I never realized until the show, but now I can't unsee it. And yeah. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Eve says she's never felt this way, but it's been forever since she made out with a guy. Never mind, had sex. And Peter seems so experienced, which like, yeah, that's perceptive. He is experienced at sex with ladies. Again.
So you are 30 years old. The way she's written, like this, it will become clear why, but
yes,
yet not really. That she does seem like kind of a convent simpleton. So,
right
before accidentally spoiling myself for reasons that aren't important on why she's like this, I just assumed that she was like a nun, literally, before this. I don't know.
That would be an interesting energy for the show to attempt. Like, even just a very religious person who's, like, a regular character, but, like, an actual ex-nun, like, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, same.
So Amanda calmly says that it will happen for Peter and Eve when the time is right. They need to let Peter think he is setting the pace. And then he comes out back in good jeans to say he had just called Eve because he made a little extra coffee with, like, okay, you mean a pot? And he wanted to offer her some. And she accepts, and Amanda smiles proudly. And in his apartment, as Peter pours, his pager goes off, and he has to go. Clip 7.
Here, I was going to try to seduce you over coffee.
You were going to seduce me, really?
Well, I was going to give it a shot.
How about my place? Tonight, 8 o'clock. I will make all of your fantasies come true. That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Girl.
It isn't. She's weird. Don't go over there by yourself.
No. And also, like, if you've just finished saying, like, seems like he's intimidatingly good at sex, don't be like, guess what I'm going to do? Blow your fucking mind. Like, just temper expectations. Just maybe, like, date a couple of practice dudes before you work your way up to Peter.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, maybe throw Ryan a bone just to take the edge off. Just say it.
Yeah. And help him out, too. He also needs to take the edge off. Let's be real.
He really does.
Later, Megan brings Amanda's award to her at Amanda's office. Amanda doesn't want it, but Lexi doesn't either. So Amanda unceremoniously dumps it in her trash can. And Megan is like, I guess, bye. Which, like, guys, you know, this thing is from Bizline, right? His line. Okay? Take it seriously. At the door, Megan adds that she is impressed by what Amanda did the previous night. And Amanda says Jane told her about Megan's part in the whole saga and thanks her. And as Megan is leaving, she runs into Ryan in the hall and comments that he hasn't asked her out in a while. Ugh, grow up. But credit to Ryan for not trying again immediately, I guess. Having a little self-respect. And that night, the McBros are watching football on Fox at Amanda's place while Amanda tries to ignore them. And then Eve calls in a panic because Peter is a half hour late for their date. He's not coming. And Amanda shrugs that this is LA. No one's ever on time. And now we've said it, as I've been saying all along. Caught traffic. That's what happens.
Yeah.
But Eve and her extremely 1998 crushed velvet slip dress, which when you just see it from like half a tit up, you're like, I can see the rest of this dress. I know exactly what I'm looking at.
Because sure do.
They were everywhere. She continues spinning out. She overpromised sex that would blow Peter's mind, etc. And Amanda's basically like, okay, yeah, maybe you did put him off. But when she goes outside to try to explain Peter's annoying tics, she can see he is at home on the phone and stupidly says so into her phone, leading Eve to march right down and confront him, ignoring Amanda's protests. But Peter doesn't seem guilty as he lets Eve in and wraps up his call with someone. We never find out who. Guess it's not important. Just a pretext to make him late. And then he hangs up and apologizes, claiming it's hospital stuff. And Eve admits she was afraid he was standing her up. But of course he wasn't. He's been looking forward to seeing her all day. He'll just freshen up and come to her place. But first he kisses her, while Amanda creepily watches from across the courtyard, looking conflicted. And inside the apartment, montaged canoodling ensues, and it eats up so much screen time. And I was like, yes!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, my notes are like, please tell me he's not taking her virginity, because I need this.
I didn't even think of that. Oh, I hope that too. Oh my God. Yeah.
Sorry. Now we all have to live in the bell jar. You're welcome.
The next morning, Ryan has brought Megan to the park to teach her basketball. Like, did they rent out this basketball court for a day and then were like, we are shooting 75 scenes here. I don't care what happens. Because that's how it seems.
Or they're warming up for the NBA on Fox that they're going to work in future episodes. Who knows?
She barely pretends to want to learn the sport, and while she carefully dribbles, he presses his crotch against her ass, and she calls literal foul. He is suspicious that she knows the rules all of a sudden, but she just knows the game he's playing, and is about to take her free throw when there's a loud honk, because a car has barely avoided hitting a golden retriever puppy that Megan and Ryan run over to rescue. Ryan says they can bring the puppy home while they try and find its owner, but Megan says Amanda doesn't allow dogs, so they just won't tell her. And that night, they sneak the puppy into the courtyard and up to Ryan's place. When he tries to get Megan in to join him in bonding with the puppy, she won't. She should have just said, I'll take the puppy. See you later.
Yeah, seriously.
Over to Peter's, where Eve leaves a message on Peter's machine and does not stay cool about it. Clip 8.
You're probably at the hospital. That's why you haven't called me back. I have been thinking about you all day. It's odd because I wasn't looking for a relationship, but now that we're together, I have never been so happy. maybe I'll stop by your place on the way home. And Peter, thanks again for last night and for this morning.
Okay, come on now.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, give it a rest. But anyway, we then cut to Eve at the rock and roll club hanging up, because that's where she was. You know how her side of the phone sounded like she was really loud, like she was in a bar where there were lots of people and they were talking? You didn't? Oh, neither did I. Good job, everybody.
Yeah.
But she goes straight to the stage. Clip 9.
Don't patronize. Don't patronize me. 'Cause I can make you love me if you don't. You can.
I don't get it. B, why are you singing this song? He's not here.
Yeah. And also, you don't know that you can't make him love you. You thought that you did make him love you.
Right.
And C, that's not Rena Sofer. Let's just clear that up right now.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, we've already said that, have we not? I thought we did.
Yeah.
It's
I
certainly
can't
not.
Remember if we did. All these episodes sort of run together in one beige swirl. Yeah, it's definitely not her, and they didn't do a particularly good job matching the timbre. No. I hope Ms. Bonnie Raitt got paid for that.
Yes. Although, I guess if we are hearing that, it's probably not on streaming. Unclear. Yeah. The next morning, Amanda comes straight from a very inappropriate meeting with her employee, Jane, as we have already discussed, to Eve dangling her feet in the pool, convinced that Peter is avoiding her. And Amanda says Peter is not the kind of guy who will sleep with you and immediately lose interest. But Eve says she was wrong to hope he could fix her life. No one can, not even Amanda. But I guess Amanda just takes that as a challenge, because in the very next scene, she is intercepting Peter at the practice to say she knows he and Eve boned and order him not to hurt her. And Peter is offended that she would assume that he might. And Amanda jumps to the conclusion that he's using Eve to make her jealous. And Peter spits that she's more arrogant than he is. Ouch. Amanda snorts and gets in the elevator with him. And the fact that we see them both in it together tips us before it happens that it is about to stop between floors, because blackout. And Amanda starts panicking, and Peter just gets annoyed that there isn't anything he can do to fix it. And when we rejoin them later, Peter says he's decided he's bad at relationships and he doesn't want to hurt Eve. And Amanda tells him to stop sabotaging it then. But instead, he gets up and starts randomly smashing buttons. And Amanda says maybe he just ends up hurting other people because it's how he protects himself. And over at the rock and roll club, Kyle is noodling Come Rain or Come Shine on the piano. And it's Rob Estes playing for real. I was surprised and impressed. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Eve is also there and tries to get him to continue, but he didn't know anyone else was there, and he never plays for anyone, not even Amanda. And Eve says that song used to be a favorite of hers. Then what happened? When Kyle comments that she seems down, she readily says she got carried away with her feelings about Peter, and now reality is sinking in. Kyle can get carried away with his feelings about Peter, too, like wanting to beat the crap out of him. Har, har. And then he starts playing again. Intimate. Ooh, watch this space? Question mark. I don't know. Don't really care. And then Megan is drinking wine and snuggling the puppy. Not a euphemism. At Ryan's place. It is awkward. So Ryan admits he's nervous and he wants to impress her. And she airily says he shouldn't worry. They're just friends. But this does not put him off. And he takes her into the bedroom, out his window, and up onto the roof, which I don't think we've ever seen before. Like this space on the complex.
Yeah. Which, based on what we've seen, like, I think it's gabled roofs. Like, I think this is not necessarily possible, but
right.
I also don't care that much. It looks cute. Someone put a grill up there. I'm going to assume it was Billy.
Yes. And a lawn chair. I was impressed, too. Like, this was the first thing he's ever done that made me like him, other than rescue a puppy, I guess. But ever since their night in the desert, Ryan has been fascinated by stars. The night sky made a big impression on him, and so did Megan. And this time she lets him kiss her, and they go at it for a while before she says he seems like he wants a relationship, but she doesn't right now. And back in the elevator, Peter decides to take action in the usual inaccurate way of pop culture by boosting Amanda through a hatch in the top of the car, even though those open out so rescuers can get in, not the other way around. And Amanda thinks this is just a ruse so he can look up her skirt. He's like, I've seen it, which I thought was pretty funny because, yeah.
And then she steps on his face. And okay. The chemistry is still the most... Oh, so frustrating.
Yes. And so, again, the foot stuff. Like, once you see it, you can't unsee how much foot perv stuff there is this season. Like,
oh my God.
There's a close-up shot of her standing on his face. Like, it is truly, like, put this straight on a fetish site. But
oh my God.
While she is hanging out on the top of the car, her phone rings in her bag, and obviously it's Kyle. Obviously, Peter is hostile answering, handing off the phone, calling him Carl. Like, he's been around for two seasons, guy. We know you know his name. But Amanda explains her situation and says Kyle should wait for her at the rock and roll club. And when she is hung up, Peter suggests they give Kyle a reason to be jealous, but he's just kidding. And later,
I'm not doing
we certainly aren't. Later, Megan returns to Ryan for a sweater she conveniently left behind. Ryan, who answers the door shirtless again, this time cradling the puppy,
holding
says,
the puppy. Like, yes. Dude, if shirtless puppy holding doesn't get her to drop trow, it's not fucking happening.
No, give up.
Give
Seriously.
Up. Yeah.
But he says he had a good time that night, and Megan interrupts to claim she's not attracted to him and she doesn't even like dogs. He should stay out of her life. And we have no idea how Amanda got out of the elevator shaft at the practice, but suddenly she's at the Rock and Roll Club where Kyle is waiting for her. And she'll explain why she was with Peter if Kyle promises not to get mad, which he doesn't, although he does seem pretty chill slash drunk. Amanda was worried about Eve. And when she says Eve and Peter slept together, Kyle surmises that's why Eve was down on love when he saw her earlier. And Amanda gets Kyle to agree that it would be nice if Eve and Peter worked out since it would get Peter out of their lives. And when Kyle balks, she tries kissing him instead just to shut him the fuck up. Relatable. Cut to the courtyard where Peter returns alone, looking up at Eve's place. And he's going up the stairs when Eve comes back and says she's not home. Clip 10.
Listen, there's something I want to explain.
A one-night stand is self-explanatory. Good night, Peter.
Wait, hold it. Please, look. I sabotage everything good in my life. And what we did, what we shared was... Well, it definitely falls in the category of something very good. And I'd like to try it again.
You mean like a two-night stand?
No. No, I'm thinking more along the lines of a... relationship. I mean, like you said, we're together. Right?
Well.
Nice try dropping the volume so you don't sound nauseated, but I see you and you should not do this.
No. So as they're making out, Lexi wanders into the courtyard, sees them, and makes an ass of herself. Clip 11.
Well, 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 if it isn't the doctor and the showgirl.
Do I know you?
I'm Lexi Sterling, Peter's old flame. Honey, take it from me. The guy will use you, abuse you, and break your heart.
Lexi, just go home, please.
But it's so hot, and my air conditioning's out, and we don't have a pool. Hey, Peter, you want to go for a swim? We can play Jaws. I'll be the shark and eat y'all up.
You know what happened to that shark.
Oh, come on, come on, come on.
Yeah, go. Take the nights while you can still get them. Hey, Petey, you don't mind if I use the pool, right? I've been taking swimming lessons, and, well, I could use the practice.
Knock yourself out.
I mean, literally. Please knock yourself out, Dram.
Yeah, please. Shut up.
Also, she lives in a high-rise at the marina. Yes, her building does fucking have a pool. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
But I will give them credit for continuity on her supposed fear of water from the intended finale. When they were like, she can't swim. And we were like, yeah, she can. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Inside her place, Eve says this, clip 12.
You had a relationship with that woman?
She used to be nicer. I don't know.
I know, it was so good. I mean, she didn't, but.
Yeah. It's tough when you like saw someone and you're embarrassed. Like, I don't know. She was nicer. Yeah, whatever. Let's change the subject.
Yeah, totally.
Eve wonders what that makes her, and he says the best thing that ever happened to him, and they make out some more. And as Lexi dives into the pool fully nude and starts swimming laps, Ryan curiously looks on, and she spots him and asks if he's going to watch her or come down and do something, but he wouldn't dream of spoiling her fun, and I guess watch this space too as she like swims like... It's still not interested, even though she is giving nude illusion pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we leave things for now. Let us name our episode MVP. Dog.
The puppy. It was okay. Like the minute the puppy showed up, that was in my notes.
That's
MVP,
right.
MVP, the puppy.
Yep. Least valuable player. Eve, relax. Okay, yeah. Please. I don't know what your deal is, but calm down.
Well, and I agree, but I'm going to go with Amanda, who was in violation of like 20 different statutes and also was stuck in an elevator with Peter, like just bone.
Yeah, just fuck.
No one has to know.
No, nope. No one does.
Ever, except us. Mm-mm. Next time and again with this, Amanda pushes Jane and Alex together. Kyle is suspicious of Eve. Lexi decides to pry Ryan away from Megan. And Dr. Visconti is starting to see Peter's point about Amanda. You'll see our point about Jane's Nana hair when you check out our visual aids. We've put those together for every episode of this podcast, and you'll find them at againwiththispodcast.com. We're on Blue Sky at Again With This. We're on Instagram.com/againwiththispodcast. You can call or text us, 210-920-4699. And you can get extra episodes and access to our Discord, againwiththispodcast.com/club. Go there today. I'm Awkward Answering Machine Message Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Noirish Sulk, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, used to be nicer, I don't know. Talk to you next time.
Cool.
Oh, remember that guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Schmob.
Schmob. Cool.